He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is the July 25th beginning of the Fed meeting day. It is the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And today it's just the other way around of what it's been recently. You've got the NASDAQ up and the Dow to the downside a little bit. The NASDAQ out of the gate pretty good here this morning. It's up 72 points. It's at 14,130. I saw some strength in the chip stocks this morning, some of the software stocks. NASDAQ up 0.5%. On the other hand, several Dow stocks have reported earnings this morning, and we'll get to them. And the overall picture on the Dow is down 39 points at 35,371. The S&P continues to break out to 52-week highs. It's up 5 points to 45.59, closing in on most of the analyst target prices out there. Never mind. The Russell 2000 down 2 points, 1963. Crude oil, finally a little bit of a down day. It's down 15 cents, but I got to tell you, the crude oil stocks, the energy-related stocks, especially the refiners, were just on fire yesterday. Crude oil is at $78.59. Gold is down $4.50. Silver is up 11 cents. The 10-year is clear up to 3.89% today. And Bitcoin is up $121 per coin. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And yesterday we had kind of the opposite of what's going on today. We had strength in the Dow yesterday. It was, you know, on the days when tech takes the day off, which it did yesterday, and that's having a pretty good start to the day today, it seems to be the financials and the energy, the oil and gas-related stocks that pick up the slack. And it was that way again yesterday. You've got oil pushing up against $79 per barrel now, and you've got the unleaded gas ETF hitting new 52-week highs. And I heard that another refinery went down, I think an ExxonMobil refinery.
Yeah. Pretty big one, and I want to say it was in Louisiana. I have to look that back up, but yeah, one of the larger oil or gas refineries that we have, I think, in the country is down at the moment. So.
Yeah, and the ETF crack, CRAK, which has nothing to do with Hunter Biden, you know. Crack, CRAK, has all about its refining.
It's the crack spread.
Yeah,
it's
the crack
how many
spread.
Barrels of what? 3, 2, 1. Look
yeah,
it up.
That's right. It really exploded to the upside yesterday. So, anyways, that's we begin the day on an up note. We got a lot of earnings that have come in. Many of the Dow stocks have reported. Tonight, we get a lot of important earnings from the likes of Microsoft and Alphabet. And in the background, underneath the surface, somewhere in Washington, D.C., a group of men and women are meeting under the guise of the FOMC, Federal Open Market Committee, and they're discussing interest rates, and they're discussing inflation, and they're discussing the economy, and we'll see what they do. You know, most people have just kind of baked into the cake a 25 basis point hike, but we've had some weak numbers come out on the global economy. You've got weakness in China. You've got weakness in Japan. You had horrible numbers yesterday coming out of Europe.
38 handle on the PMI number in Germany, which is the manufacturing and growth engine of the EU
right.
In general. So.
We'll find out in the coming weeks. But after the Fed meets, then we get the ECB. They'll announce their report, their decision the day after the Fed. And so it's time to get ready for a very, very busy week here in the market. And I would just say that so far, really, we've had one big week of earnings, and it was a little bit on the sloppy side. Okay, we get consumer confidence, house prices, blah, 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 money supply. Okay, now, after the close today, we will get earnings.
Yeah,
this is a big one.
Yeah.
Microsoft, MSFT, the king of AI right now, them and NVIDIA. And, of course, the runner-up in AI right now is Alphabet. They'll be reporting today. Visa will be reporting today. That's always a very good indication of where the consumer is at. Teladoc, not so much a big report anymore. Snapchat, which has been a poorly run company for many years.
Spotify came in today. Bad numbers, apparently.
Bad numbers from Spotify.
No one's listening to music anymore. Maybe they're making their own with AI, I guess.
Well, they've got Joe Rogan on Spotify. But the problem with Spotify is they've never made any money. They've never been profitable. They've always lost money. And that was the same model that Sirius Satellite subscription service to listen to these talk shows. Sirius Satellite also has never really been profitable.
Yeah. They were down huge a couple few days ago. I remember they just popped up on my screen in terms of biggest down numbers. I think it was, I don't know, 3 or 4 days ago. So.
Well, it's a crowded field out there. You know, everybody seems to have a podcast these days, and we're grateful for our podcast listeners. We have a lot of them all over the world, actually.
Well, all kind of different platforms. So.
Yes, all kinds of different platforms. So, okay, we'll see what Microsoft says tonight. They anticipate relatively a relatively flat quarter. We'll see what Alphabet does tonight. And then tomorrow will be Meta, the company formerly known as Facebook. We'll get Coca-Cola, ServiceNow, Chipotle. Those are some big ones. A lot of people will be watching those. And then on Thursday, we're going to get McDonald's, Comcast, Intel, Bristol-Myers, Harley-Davidson, Roku. Those will be fun to watch. And then on Friday, it kind of cools off a little bit with consumer staples. Procter & Gamble, Colgate, Palmolive, Church & Dwight. And also we'll get Exxon, on Friday. Now.
Yeah, and all the Fed news. Of course, we get the Fed announcement for the U.S. on Wednesday. We get the Fed or the ECB announcement in Europe on Thursday, and then the Bank of Japan will finish out the week on Sunday. So, I mean, on Friday, and of course their release will be, you know, probably as we're opening our eyes on Friday morning.
Yes, and people are going to the movies again after COVID. We wondered if people would ever go back. They spent $311 million. On Barbie and Oppenheimer over
biggest
the weekend.
Biggest weekend since 2019. So
that's right, the fourth biggest weekend ever.
Wow.
And I've heard nothing but bad about Barbie, which I don't think I'll be going to see. Wheat futures jump by daily limit after Russia hits Danube grain facilities. Okay. Russia would love to starve the world. You know, that's pretty much the world against Russia, although Russia's got its allies in Iran and in China and Saudi Arabia even to some extent.
They backed Belarus today against Poland. They were warned Poland about moving some armaments, you know, towards the Belarusian border, which would make sense since you get the mercenary, you know, the Wagner group there now. So
yep. Well, Russia attacked some of the infrastructure on the Danube River there. They pulled out of that Black Sea grain deal. Of course, India halted exports of rice, hoarding it instead for their own people.
Yeah, no long grain basmati rice for you out there.
No, and so you've had some moves up, which is inflationary in nature. Okay, so we'll have to watch that. And, of course, energy prices are a big part of the inflation picture. I've also noticed that fertilizer stocks are starting to get a little bit of vibrancy to them. They've been dead for a long time. Nutrien, I saw, got an upgrade at Wells Fargo as potash prices near a floor. Well, I'm kind of seeing the same thing in natural gas. It seems like natural gas prices, they just got clobbered, finally hitting a floor, starting to work their way back up. And I've noticed the fertilizer stocks, although when I do valuations on them, I'm not seeing that 75 to 80% or more upside potential. But they are something to keep your eye on because, when they start moving, they can be very, very profitable. Okay, when we come back, Morgan Stanley, our friend Mike Wilson's got another headwind, okay, a headache. His headwind is giving me a headache. We'll be welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show with NASDAQ up 76. Dow goes positive. It's up by 20. S&P up 8. Well, the different, the various possible outcomes from the Fed meeting would be to lower rates. That's not going to happen. Okay. I don't see anybody really anymore predicting lower rates between now and the end of the year unless the economy goes really bad. And there's indications in Europe that theirs is starting to go really bad. Maybe it's a temporary thing, but we're going to watch that very closely. It was kind of worrisome to me to see those numbers coming out of Europe yesterday. Okay, they could leave interest rates the same. That's what they did at the last meeting. They ended a 10-month string of hiking interest rates, and they left rates alone. They called it a pause. Usually when you pause something, that means you're going to start it up again at some point in time. They could have just been fooling with no intention to ever hike rates again. Since then, we've had pretty cool inflation reports, way cool inflation reports, in fact. The CPI and the PPI were very cool, much cooler than expected. That set off that big blast off in the market 2 weeks ago. And then these weak numbers from Europe, I think there's a chance you could see a pause again, okay?
Yeah, and I mean, to me, it's like if you paused last time, right. I mean, to me, the data is actually more compelling probably for a pause this time than it was last time.
That's exactly right. I mean, the inflation data has come way down the numbers. So we'll see. I'm kind of 50-50 right now. But I would say that most people expect a 25-point hike, which I don't think the market will take too very kindly. I think the market is hoping for that whisper number, right, that is on the street that they're not going to do anything.
And it'll be more than likely all in the statement. We're going to see a lot of the movement, not at the announcement, unless they announced that they were going to stay paused, I think. I think if they announced a 25-point, hike, then, markets aren't going to move a ton. But, the big deal is going to be when he when Powell speaks at 2:30, that's when we're going to start seeing seeing some movement based on, folks interpreting whatever's coming out of his mouth, right?
Yes. Now, our friend Mike Wilson at Morgan Stanley has a new headwind to think about. His headwinds give me a headache. Disinflation. Okay? So if he's worried about disinflation, that's the opposite of inflation. That's prices going down, contracting. That's kind of goes hand in hand with a shrinking economy. Of course, our friend Mike Wilson always finds the glass to be half empty. I don't know how good he is for business. How many people come into Morgan Stanley because they have Mike Wilson calling the shots?
If you're at Morgan Stanley and you got a client you're trying to bring on board to invest some money, is that the guy you call in to talk him into?
Hey, your guy says the world's going to end. The market's going to cave in. Ooh. After years of now, let's go back a couple years, year and a half, right before the 10 rate hikes in a row, who was calling for disinflation? Our friend down in St. Pete, Florida, our friend Kathy Wood was calling.
Yeah.
She says the problem's not inflation, it's disinflation.
Well, and Jamie and the Fed was worried about disinflation pretty much between 2012 and essentially 2018, whenever Powell started raising during that one cycle where he was essentially the Grinch.
Well, she called disinflation right before there was about 10 rate hikes, so she was totally wrong. And now you've got Mike Wilson arguing on Monday that disinflation may become a new headwind in financial markets. That's all he sees as headwinds. He never sees.
Wouldn't be thankful for disinflation, at least for a period of time, right? At the
moment.
Yeah. You've got to have disinflation to get back to 2% if that's what their target is.
Well, he sees a story of higher valuations than we expected among falling inflation and cost cutting. So he's been totally wrong about the market once again. However, disinflation is now eating into sales growth. Well, obviously, that's where it would show up because that means companies are lowering their prices on their goods. And I will say this. I mean, this quarter, we're expected to see a 9% drop in earnings, but also pretty soft revenue numbers. I think we're going to be just a fraction lower than a year ago. So he says that's going to cause disinflation. Well, where would that show up? It would show up in the CPI. It would first start to show up in the PPI numbers. And we're not seeing any signs of disinflation yet. But he says we've got another headwind to worry about. The big winner today, ELBM, let's take a look at that. It's an electric battery maker, ELBM. Let's see what the news is. Wow, it's up 95%. It's out of Canada, where I've seen some hot stocks out of Canada in the past. Okay, I remember the old Vancouver Stock Exchange. A lot of gold miners and uranium and plutonium. Okay, ELBM, the news is onshoring the electric, expands cobalt. Okay, they're going to provide cobalt to LG Energy Solutions. So that's the news. It's driving this stock. It's at $2.41 for all you gamers out there. It's up 95.8% today. Meta ticks higher. Now, Meta's been under a little bit of profit-taking here recently after hitting new highs over about 3 days ago. They're said to be a big player. He wants to be a big player in AI. New Street Research, okay, that's not generic. That's a company's name. They upgraded Meta to a buy from neutral with a price target of $350. Where is Meta trading at today? $292. Well, that's pretty good. If they get to $350, I would agree with that. It's just a matter of how long it will take.
A little less than a 20% rise from here. So.
Well, the analyst covering the stock says he's hearing very positive feedback on the company's AI efforts. And Qualcomm, which has also had a little bit of vibrancy recently, announced last week that it was teaming with Meta to bring large language models to smartphones and PCs. Meta also said it was introducing an open-source large language model, Llama 2, in collaboration with Microsoft for research and commercial use. So anyways, they put out a buy on Meta. A lot of reasons to own Meta. It's The two stocks I hear the most about the comeback stock of the year, Meta, number one, just an unbelievable performance here in 2023. And the other one is General Electric, GE. Stunning turnaround there. All right, we'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the chip stocks are looking pretty good here today. Although the market is in just a little bit of a hold mode. I think it wants to see these earnings come in tonight from Microsoft and Alphabet and Meta tomorrow. And I think the market wants to see what the Fed's going to announce tomorrow around 2:30 p.m. As it relates to interest rates. But in the meantime, Taiwan Semiconductor sees a good future for AI chips. Taiwan Semiconductor is up 2.4% today. Taiwan Semiconductor is also a dividend payer. It has a 1.4% dividend yield. Therefore, we own it not only in our growth portfolio, but our dividend and growth portfolio. They plan to invest $2.9 billion for an advanced chip plant in Taiwan, which is kind of surprising. They've been diversifying, building their plants around the world, but they're getting ready to start another one. Of course, their Arizona one, They can't get quite what they need in the way of skilled labor right now.
I was looking at the numbers on the amount of, I guess, skilled labor that's needed for, you know, some of these chip plants that we want to bring, you know, to the U.S. and even just to North America in general. And there's quite a large gap between, you know, the engineers needed and the
That's
the
right.
Actual supply of engineers. So.
Yeah. Well, I guess they have them in Taiwan, and maybe that's why they decided to build this plant in northern Taiwan. They produce chips, Taiwan Semiconductor, for some of the world's largest tech companies, including Apple, NVIDIA, and AMD. They have the green light. It's expected to create about 1,500 jobs. And the reason for the plant is the sudden spike in demand for AI chips. Now, okay, if Taiwan Semiconductor were to listen to Kalanovic, Marco Kalanovic, he's got to be, well, he's the Chris Wilson of Mike Wilson of J.P. Morgan. He sees an AI bubble. Well, I think if you look at some of the stocks involved, there's a lot of little minor small players that have rocketed higher over the last couple of months. I would say the match was first lit on the AI stocks when Microsoft came out with ChatGPT. And then the gasoline that was poured on the fire was when NVIDIA said, wow, we're going to have a massive bump in sales. No disinflation there at NVIDIA right now. And that really set off people looking down every crook, every alley, you know, for anything related
anything
to AI.
Anything with the two letters next to each other, AI, right?
Including the company AI that's got the symbol, and that set off an explosion. So, yeah, well, I mean, it depends on the stock once again. When somebody makes a statement like that, J.P. Morgan Bear, he's a perma bear, Marco Kalanovich. I don't know how Jamie Dimon puts up with the guy, but, you know, look, what can I say? He spies an AI bubble. And I would just say, well, it depends on the stock. Now, the stock that's getting killed today, holy cow, you know, it's a member of the Dow, is Raytheon, which we own in our dividend and growth. We owned it in our growth portfolio for a while, then I pulled the plug on it, which was a good move. But I kept it in the dividend portfolio. Because, you know, with the money we're giving to Ukraine, a lot, and the Patriot missiles and all.
When you got to replace the replacement cycle, right?
Business is good for Raytheon, but they had to disclose a Pratt and Whitney engine defect. You don't want to defect in missiles that are defending your country. Now, I don't know what it
is. This engine's actually used in, I think it's an Airbus, you know, smaller, I think it's a smaller commuter plane.
But,
now they haven't ran into, you know, we want to kind of, you know, this is on the back of an actual good earnings report from Raytheon, where they beat on earnings, and I believe they beat on revenue, and I believe they've increased their forward guidance. But yeah, the engine, it's a part within the engine. It didn't sound like it's when you go through, and obviously we're not engineers, but when you go through and look at some of the details of what the issue is, it's not it doesn't seem like it's a Boeing Max type issue. It's more of a parts really, you know, inside the engine is going to need to be replaced sooner than the initial maintenance schedule.
I would just say at first blush, this would be a buying opportunity in the stock. It's down 14.33%. It finally hit a bottom here this morning at about 81, and now it's back to 83, so it's up $2. It's bouncing off the bottom. And that's the reason you're seeing the underperformance. I'm pretty sure Raytheon, I mean, I still have it in my chart group as a Dow stock, so I assume it's still in the Dow.
Yeah, I mean, revenues were up, you know, 12% for the quarter. For the quarter versus last year, as you would imagine, like you said, based on the
some of these
munitions that were that are being used, put it that way.
Yeah, they beat earnings by 11 cents, and they beat revenue by 620. Normally, that would be a big, nice gain for the stock, but instead, they had to disclose this problem, and that's tanking the stock.
Yeah, and I think if you go back to kind of how you reacted to the Max issue, for example, right? That one cut bait with Boeing pretty early on in that sense. Like I said, this one looks to be a little more headline risk versus what the issue may at least turn out to be, and that's based on what they've said. Right.
Now I'm going to give the stock of the day to Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing, 3M. I don't know what the big seller is at 3M, but that stock, a member of the Dow, on 4x normal volume is up 5.4%. That is a big move for a big stock, a $60 billion stock, which is headquartered there in St. Paul.
And they beat on the top and bottom line there. Of course, they had some, they announced Q2 that they had that quote unquote forever chemicals settlement, right? And they've had a number of, whether it was the ear protection suit. So they've had a few legal issues that they've worked through, and some of them, at least two of the bigger ones, seem to be behind them. And at the same time, right, they're beating on the top line and bottom line, and as you always see, stocks follow earnings, right?
Yep. Now, another Dow stock, one of the most boring Dow stocks, Verizon. I put it in the same category as AT&T. It does have a 7.7% dividend, but it goes down all the time and wipes out your dividend. It's all about total return. Verizon does maintain their full-year forecast. It's up a very exciting 18 cents per share today.
Down General 15% Electric year to date, by the way.
Yeah,
so that's where you're talking about, you know, your forward dividend yield of 7.68%, but you know, year to date, you know, the stock is actually down 14.8%.
Well, the latest CEO they have at GE is doing something right. Look at this stock. GE stock, which began the year at 60, is hitting $117 today.
That's amazing.
That's a massive breakout today. It's up 6.1%. There is a crack. Lawrence Culp is the guy. We'll have to look into what Culp did before. Maybe he's a long-term GE guy, but he has turned that stock around. I love good turnaround plays. The problem is GE has had several false starts since Immelt took it into the buried it in the ground almost, and it's been coming back. It's made temp. Then it always faltered and went back, and now all of a sudden this stock has got some life to it. Relative strength on a scale of 1 to 99 is 95.
Maybe you found an old notebook from Jack Welch.
Yeah, in the drawer like, hey, buried somewhere.
Let's do this.
Another boring stock, GM, down 3.1%. Of course, GM, Elon Musk has run circles around GM. And then the other exciting one here for us, which is kind of offsetting our loss in Raytheon, is Pulte Homes. We own Pulte Homes in our dividend portfolio. It pays a dividend. It's up almost 6% today on 3 times normal volume. There continues to be a shortage of homes. And despite the high interest rates on a 30-year mortgage, the home builders remain in play. They beat by 71 cents. And again, the stock up almost 6% today. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Pratt & Whitney is actually a subsidiary of Raytheon. Apparently, I did see some sell-off in Airbus. Airbus is down 2.2%. I know they make engines for Airbus. I'm pretty sure that Boeing uses General Electric. We were just talking about General Electric engines. Even though Boeing is down just a little bit here today, the big winner in the Dow is 3M, up 5.3%. DuPont is in second place. That's a pretty good chart on DuPont. Now, we're seeing DuPont kind of trades along with oil. Because they manufacture, you know, plastic, chemical, agricultural product, a lot of the chemical stocks and the oil stocks kind of trade together.
Yeah, and that's what people, so, you know, folks who want to get rid of fossil fuels altogether, forget how much oil actually ends up in
it's
plastic.
In
it's in every, it's everywhere. So.
Yes. Okay. And DuPont, that's a very good chart on DuPont. I don't have the valuation. You know what? Just because that's such a good chart, I'm going to look up the. I doubt very much that it has 80%, 70 to 80%. It has 70% upside potential. Not bad. It could be worse. Okay, Caterpillar's up 1.3% today, despite, you know, those numbers out of Europe yesterday. And then, of course, the big loser, Raytheon, their Pratt & Whitney engines, that stock is now down 13.6. It is off of its low of 81. It's back to 84. So it's up about $3 off of its low. It seems to be a problem in the metal that they said is very rare, doesn't happen too often. So now you just got to wonder what other, I did a search during the break, who else uses their engines, and it seems to be EADSY, which is which is Airbus.
Yeah, and it when I was reading, it seemed to be a part that, you know, essentially may fail faster than, you know, than expected, and so the, you know, looks like part of the fix is just, you know, essentially replacing it earlier than they expected, and also inspecting them more, you know, at a more more often you know, interval than they were initially, I guess, expecting to when the engines were put in place. So.
Well, I'm seeing
the good news is it doesn't affect any new engines. So,
no.
You know, the stuff they're building, say, right this minute, right, you know, apparently doesn't have that issue. As, like I said, it's not like a whole Boeing MAX deal where they almost had to, you know, go back and re-engineer some stuff. And obviously that took, you know, a couple of years, a few years, it feels like. We had COVID in the middle to kind of work through, so.
Well, I would say once again today I'm seeing the low PE kind of stocks, cyclical types of stocks that are leading the market, while tech kind of takes the day off again, awaiting some big earnings reports. So your leaders in the S&P, Xerox, Alcoa, Cleveland Cliffs, which is iron ore, General Electric, which is a cyclical, Pulte Homes is a cyclical, 3M is a cyclical, WestRock, which makes paper, Freeport-McMoRan, International Paper. Those are the leaders, Dow Chemical, Sherwin-Williams, Nucor. The basic materials and the cyclicals are leading the market today. And what do they have in common for the most part? Lower P.E. ratios than the tech stocks. The NASDAQ, okay, it looks like another summer day off for the NASDAQ. The leader in the NASDAQ, Microchip Technology, which is kind of low-tech, more of a storage company, it's up 2.3%. So there's not a lot of exciting stuff. NVIDIA, probably the most exciting move today. NVIDIA is up 2.1%. And I suppose Marko Kalanovic with his call on, you know, the bubble in AI, I'm sure he would call out NVIDIA, but, you know, you can look on my app. I update it constantly, the valuation on NVIDIA, NVDA. It's up 2.2% today at $456 per share. It began the year, you don't even want to know. It began the year at about 140. So it's tripled this year so far, NVIDIA. Yeah. And attacking Pulte. On.
And you already mentioned Pulte. That one's up.
Pulte's having a good
over
day.
5% today. Wow.
Yes, out of the S&P 500. Now, the NASDAQ, hard to find. The other one is Analog Devices up 1.7. Texas Instruments up 1. Little bit of movement. Broadcom.
Hubs is doing well there. They're out of the gates pretty strong.
The other one that I like the action in is AMD, which AMD's been under pressure recently. And AMD seems to maybe be finding a little bit of a bottom. I wouldn't say it's been under
heavy
pressure.
I'm ready for their report. I can't wait for their report to come out. I get a good feeling about that, and we'll see what happens. But
now, their second fiddle, I think, to NVIDIA. But they are making noise about going after NVIDIA and that high end. I imagine that's a very profitable chip, those AI chips. So let's just check one more thing here. Let's go to the overall market. Last time I looked, it was that crazy little company out of Canada that was leading the way, and it still is. So that's what's happening today. Tomorrow we'll have some big earnings to report. Microsoft will move the market. Alphabet will move the market. Other companies that report tonight will also move the market. I would give this earnings season a C-. A C-, maybe even a D-plus so far, but we're very early into it. The real excitement, the fireworks begin tonight when those big companies report. If you'd like to talk to us, well, we've been talking to a lot of people. I've been putting a lot of new money to work recently. There's still stuff I'm buying that has that 80%, 75% or more upside potential. There's other stuff that I'm not buying that we have big profits in at the current time. There's always some cycle taking place in the market underneath the surface, and that's my job to find those cycles and those underneath the surface currents, and there's definitely several of them taking place right now. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, and you can get the newsletter, which is really on top of the earnings season every single week. I fine-tune those numbers. GundersonCapital.com.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.